she was murdered.
Sup, my dudes?
Welcome back.
This is Not a Monster, Not a Boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
I'm Les. And today, to follow and compliment my prior episode from my comrade, I am also doing something spoopy.
Spoopy.
Or is it not really spoopy at all? Dun dun dun.
I don't like it now.
Honestly, I'm torn. Like, I don't know how y'all are gonna feel about this at the end when I make some very convincing arguments. I was looking for the words. I was about to say tentative, which is not what I was looking for at all. Anyway, I'm sure we've all heard it. We've all come to know. It terrorized me as a little girl because it was like my first scary movie ever in like the theaters. The Amityville Horror. So we'll be covering some spooky stuff from that and the murders and the hauntings. And if you're not into that, well, you know, you can actually like just skip this one. Not unless you're like really, you know, very sensitive about this stuff, which I get it. I hated this story growing up. Like, that's why I'm doing it, because I'm like, let me try to demask my fears around the story. Anyway, so where to start? 112 Ocean Avenue. That's the address.
That's,
and I was singing Ocean Avenue earlier, so that's why. This is not going to be anything like that song, I promise you. This is the scary Ocean Avenue that was like a Dutch colonial house, which I find creepy in itself. Like,
yes.
It was built in 1924.
Yikes.
This house, which is still standing, I will have you know. And there are people inhabiting it. Which, okay, our last story, we don't even know if anyone even died in the house, you know, and, like, people were not inhabiting it. This one, we know for fucking sure that 6 people died in the house from a murder, and they're like, yeah, let me go in there. Paid $600,000 for this house. Like, I'm pretty sure now it's probably more.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's no longer 112 Ocean Avenue. So
they changed the address, but they left the house there pretty much.
They changed the address. They remodeled the house. Have you all ever seen the house by chance?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, I think I have.
It looks
pictures.
Really spooky. Like any haunted house that you've seen, it's designed after this house, because it used to have these very big, like,
they look like eyes almost.
Yeah, the windows in there, but that's removed. So
okay.
It's basically not the same house. And I don't know. Personally, I am very, like, I do believe in the paranormal, and I hated this story in particular because I moved into a house when I was younger that so much reminded me of the house for some reason in this movie, which I'm talking about the remake with sexy ass Ryan Reynolds. I'm just gonna say it, he goes crazy in this remake and is actually really good acting, in my opinion.
Really?
Have you seen the new remake of this? Or okay,
I
anyway,
so.
I was like 9 when it came out. It came out in like 2002 or 2005.
I've
like
seen
that.
Some version of it, and I don't think it's the
one?
Original. I don't
oh,
think
don't
it's
think
that
so?
One. It might be the one
it
you're talking
so
about,
variations.
But I don't remember Ryan Reynolds. But I was also like,
God,
10.
So hot. So what do you all like know about this story? It's just spoopy. Gnomes earlier I asked, and they were like, I just know that it was maybe a hoax at the end of things, which, yeah. Yeah, to an extent, right? Because a lot of, like, this will be easily explained by skeptics of, like, oh, yeah, that, and then, oh, yeah, this. But there's still some things where I'm like, but that doesn't really explain this, and then this, and then also, if you're, I kind of group it all into, like, one big, like, negative energy and positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, your story, like, we've learned that our thoughts can definitely, you know, take its toll on our physical beings and what's in front of us realistically. So I kind of have that sense underneath this too. I'll get into it and see what you all think at the end. But anyway,
I am too,
because I've done that too, just like in paranormal experiences in my life. I've done the whole, oh no, logically it's this, you know, and then sometimes there isn't an explanation for it, you know what I mean? So that's where I'm like, it's easier for us to deal with this tragedy. And then, and on the other hand, there's a big load of fucking profit in it. So,
of course.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a fucking, it gets kind of funny. So, when people hear Amityville Horror, they most likely think of the Lutz family's claims of experiencing strange and terrifying things in this house. Psychic mediums and paranormal investigators who've been to the house do also sense a malicious presence. They have claimed it to be cursed.
Mm-hmm.
And also that it was built on top of Native American burial grounds. But so far, the natives in that area say that that's not necessarily true, or they haven't had any records of it anyway.
This just kind of sounds like a white person being like, it's haunted because burial grounds.
And
it's
it very well was that, yeah.
Poltergeist. You got to put the remains back and it'll be fine.
Right. Yeah, and like, I mean, I get it because New York was like highly prevalent. That's where this house is.
Mm-hmm.
It was highly prevalent in that kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. they did wipe out a lot of Native American communities.
Oh, yeah.
So mm-hmm. I don't know. Did, we so. Don't know. But so far, to their knowledge, there hasn't been a confirmed burial ground there. So that's kind of a hoax, too, I'd say.
So, sorry, I have a question real quick. To my, I thought that the Warrens were the only people who, no.
Lorraine and Ed Warren were involved,
mm-hmm.
But no, they were like part of a team of psychics mm-hmm. who actually visited that day.
Okay.
However, Lorraine's like accounts of this story are pretty serious, so mm-hmm. I do trust her in a way.
Yeah.
Some people even said that couple has been a hoax too, and that yeah. they are just lying too. And see, that makes sense to me, like I'm saying. For me, it's kind of like this tricky, unless I was there, I don't know.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. I've seen that happen multiple times where a person's just like, wants to explain it off so easily to something so that they feel peace and comfort. But
right.
truly, mm-hmm. it wasn't comfortable.
No.
And it was actually kind of spooky. And in fact, just to go on a side tangent here, what's interesting is when I was researching the story, I was at my friend's apartment who lives on Cheeseman Park. So if you all know anything about Cheeseman Park, it was literally a burial ground.
Yeah.
And they had been hearing some crazy shit that night. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like just to say the least, that night I had gotten there kind of late and they had reported to the police, actually, that a man had been wailing, like crying, like howling, like the Llorona almost.
Jesus.
And like that it went on for 30 minutes.
Yikes. Yeah,
and listen to this. The park, it had barely turned 9 when I got there. So the park was still like up and populated with people. Why didn't anyone like call the cops on this man? Or, you know, when you're in that situation, someone's going to go up to him and be like,
yeah.
hey, like, what's up? Like, why are you
okay?
Like, literally, my friend called the cops because she thought he might have been hurt.
Right.
That's how extreme his wails were. Cops get there, nothing. They ask people around, nothing.
Really
That's
creepy.
So weird. Yeah.
Anyway, they still, and the guy who had listened to this too with my friend, he was like, since the day I met him, he's like, oh, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. That's why I live here. Like, I don't believe it's haunted. Other people who live in that apartment do.
Mm-hmm.
And they even have had to tell people, like, no, you can't visit my apartment because I've seen this ghost here.
Right.
I'm actually living here. Yeah. so anyway, he was spooked. He was seriously like, I also wanted to call the cops because I thought it was weird that it hadn't stopped after 45 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And also, they couldn't tell me where the sound was coming from.
Like, what direction?
Right. One of them said it was, like, much closer, and the other one said it was, like, farther back. But to think that they had to pause the show they were watching if it was farther back, that how loud was that person yelling, you know?
Yeah.
Super creepy. Anyway, we have a bunch of legends like that in my culture, and... like, that's just something we think about and we believe in sometimes. But
yeah,
anyway.
Definitely.
So, yeah, psychic mediums, including Ed and Lorraine Warren, they did agree that the house was cursed. None of them, by the way, ever claimed anything about Native Americans. It was within mm-hmm. the second round of psychic visitation that they determined that. So, the Lutz family were the ones to move into the extremely discounted home after a massacre occurred in the house at the hands of Ronald DeFeo Jr.
Mm-hmm. There's
okay,
a
so
lot
this is about 1974. No, it was about 1975 when they moved in. So
what part of like, oh, this house is severely discounted doesn't bring some alarm of like, there's something wrong with this house?
Well, and they claimed that they had, like, talked to their kids about it, and they were like, this is what happened, do you think we can handle it? Like,
mm-hmm.
but honestly, they kept pieces of the real furniture from the family that was previously owning that place, which is like a huge no-no. I don't care how non-belief you are, you know, like that's just not, it's not cool.
No, no.
It's weird. And some of it was said to be like even beds.
No.
Which, no. Oh, yeah. So no. Anyway, extremely discounted, as in close to under $100,000.
Jesus, that's a giant house.
So if you're a 6-person family, like, you're gonna want it.
Yeah.
Which was also strange that they were about the same size as the family before. Anyway, so what is strange is that friends were even afraid. So let me roll it back. This house, like, as far as haunting goes in history, had never been... Nobody had ever said that it was haunted before the DeFeo massacre happened. Okay. So I thought that was interesting. Yeah, and sometimes people don't say anything, to be honest with you. Like, sometimes people just think, oh, it's them. But I've had a couple of times where I've had to explain to someone, like, that sounds weird. Like, that doesn't sound safe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I for being such an old home, that's, like, only expected, you know, is to have some sort of spookiness about it. But no, here's the thing, though. The DeFeos, like, were the only people that had something bring up with this house. But specifically, like, they would say that this house was very negative and sad in the DeFeo household. Like, this is before the Lutzes moved in, right?
Yeah.
So, the family who lived there previously, like, the dad wasn't an alcoholic, but yet he became very, like, malicious and angry and would have these, like, bouts of rage. And beat his son Ronnie Jr. and his wife. Well, you don't just get that kind of rage all the time,
out of nowhere.
But no, truly he did. And yeah, there was no sign of that. So I know, it was really strange. On November 13th, 1974, that's when Ronald DeFeo Jr. decided to murder his family, supposedly. Now, even friends would say, like, of Ronnie's, would say they wouldn't want to go to the house because they were so afraid of his dad, okay? And then Ronnie, once he was arrested for these murders, still very iffy on that, I'm going to get into it, but once he was arrested for these murders, he said that it was the house who told him to kill his family. And that he'd hear voices telling him to kill his family. So it brings a question of, like, and so far the only diagnosis I have on this person was antisocial, and that was after the fact. So, like, he didn't have any diagnoses before this happened. He was always a troubled child, like, he had behavioral issues, but and then he took the drugs. But obviously, if you have an abusive dad, like, you're gonna do that kind of stuff. But there was no, like, no sense of, like, any sort of mental illness outside of that he was just troubled.
Well, and you said he was doing drugs. So, like, some of that, maybe?
Right. And the drugs thing. Yeah. But
so
when I
say
drugs, I mean drugs.
It, like, makes me wonder, too, if it's a reflection of, like, sign of the times. This is the 70s.
Yeah.
They don't know very much about mental health at all. I mean, even during this time, like, being gay is still classified as a disease right now.
Right.
And at that time, you know.
Exactly.
So,
and there was a lot of this, like, shunning of the religions that used to put those two hand in hand, like mental illness and then also this occult kind of connection of, like, yes, you were suffering from this, but it's because you're spiritual.
Right.
And you're missing this kind of, so, like, I see that a lot of the time with this kind of thing. Like, it's a lot of unexplicable, I've been around negative personalities, but none that were that malicious, you know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when I have met a person who was that malicious, it was almost like they were not human.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of how much negativity they hosted inside of their body.
Yes.
And I know some of you are like, yes, I get what she's saying. Others are like, no, I don't get it. All I'm saying is the environment has a lot of implications on what's happening with this family.
Yes.
And there's a lot of, like, weirdness going on. Like, how is this dad so angry?
Right.
Without
out of nowhere.
Any sense of mental illness or anything around the family. So they were kind of like that perfect American, Italian American family. Yeah.
Well,
had to say that.
And then I'm like, is it like a family annihilator situation?
Not
you just
really.
Wanted to murder your family?
Oh, girl, this is going to get so fucking mysterious for you. Like, I'm dumbfounded with this case. to this day, I still think it was highly under investigated, like very much so. So let's see. Gotta just find my place. The night of the massacre. So Ronnie DeFeo Jr. had always been troubled. The household was terrified by Ronald Sr. And, you know, day after day, he was an asshole who usually took it out on Ronnie. So this is kind of where I see some motive of why he would kill. Mm-hmm. But, like, here's the thing. Everyone would tell you that he was, not obsessed with his mother, but she was his very close friend. Mm-hmm. So I see why he would murder the dad.
Sure.
Yeah. But I don't see why he would murder his mom and siblings.
Yeah. Mm.
To be honest with you. And there was none of that, like, you know, no religious factor here. Yeah. I mean, they were, like, sort of religious. Like, any Italian-American family is going to have Catholic symbols around their house, even if they don't go to church every day. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so when he took to drugs, some of that was taken in consideration, like if he had kind of like put himself into a like permanent sort of state of hallucinogens, you know.
Yeah.
Not so much. There wasn't any of that like kind of like erratic behavior. Like he didn't go robbing things. None of the classic things that we see as signs for someone who's going to do this. Not that that's telling at all.
Right.
But like none of those like petty crimes as a kid. It was mostly just like behavioral issues in school, dropping out of high school, that kind of thing. But anyway.
See, the thing that worries me about that, too, is I think the same thought you had, Naomi, mm-hmm. which is, like, did he give himself drug-induced psychosis?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why he thought the house was telling him to kill his family.
That's yeah. some of it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll never know.
Right.
After he had, like, gained his wits about him mm-hmm. around the murder, no. In fact, he was not. They didn't say that. They said that he was very much so unaware of his state of being during the murders. After a psych evaluation, but afterwards he was pretty well. He did echo some Marilyn Manson-esque type behaviors, Charles Manson. I'm so sorry.
Manson. We're about 20 Marilyn years off.
Charles Manson-esque behavior, you know, like with crazy beady eyes. But he was saying that he was with the crazy sorry, eyes, true. You know. But he was saying that he like felt that Satan had told him. And there was a priest in the room that was like,
convenient.
I know, right?
Real convenient.
A priest in the room that was like, yeah, he's kind of weird. But anyway, no, I don't, I honestly, you guys, like once I tell you these clues, I don't even think that he did it. I don't even think he did it. Yeah. So.
Ghosts.
Yeah. No, it wasn't ghosts. It wasn't ghosts.
No, absolutely
damn
not.
It.
So, like once they had investigated, there was like a claim that Ronnie was involved with the Italian mob just because they were an American family, Italian American family that had anything to do with drugs. They were like, mob did it. So at first they were like, the mob did it, so let's look into that. They ruled out that the mob didn't do it, so they kind of just like stopped investigating after that.
Oh,
dude.
Oh shit, it wasn't the mob? Well, fuck, I don't know.
Well,
now.
Then he did it. Yeah, everyone in the neighborhood's like, well, Ronnie did it. Because you can see that he was very aggressive towards his parents. Like, once he became a high drug addict, he was like, kind of like, give me your things, mom.
Yeah, yeah. Typical.
Yes.
Typical behavior.
Yeah. Yes, for that kind of drug addiction. Now, I believe that. Since there were a few suggestions made by a few experts that Ronnie couldn't have done this alone. So let me explain. In the early morning of that day, November 13th, around 3:20 a.m. to be specific, Ronnie Sr., Louise, John, Matthew, Mark, Allison, and Don DeFeo were all shot by Ronnie DeFeo Jr., according to the police.
Wait, all at once?
That's
at the same time?
This is where it gets interesting. Listen, all family members, like these are the strange details. All family members were found in the exact same position when their bodies were discovered. So they were all facing down. Although, like, when you think about it, if Ronnie himself, which mind you, the fucking weapon he had been using was a .35 caliber Marlin 336C rifle. I don't know if you've ever seen those, but they're huge, mm-hmm. and they make the loudest noise without a silencer. So here's my question, is if he were acting alone, which is what the police have basically dubbed, I found some articles saying that there's new research and new clues, but nothing has happened as far as like verdict on this. He's still in jail, I think, if he had a prison, if he hasn't died. I didn't see that, but he would have had to murder his parents first, mm-hmm. shoot them first, without anyone hearing in the neighborhood or the other people in the house, which when the police did test rounds of this rifle, they were able to hear it 5 blocks away.
Jesus.
Wow. And they found no silencer or anything like that.
Nope. Now listen. So yeah, they were each shot once. All 6 victims were found in their beds, lying on their stomachs. It's estimated that the whole thing took a mere 15 minutes from start to finish. Yeah, how could one person do this without anyone stirring in their sleep to get up and see what's going on? You know what I mean? Or even just waking up. So some may say this is a spooky detail because of the fact that none of the family members had seemed to put up a struggle. The reason why that's a spooky detail is because the Lutz family had said that they experienced sleep paralysis in the house. So people literally thought that they couldn't get up.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
So.
I'm just going so many different directions with this.
I know.
Even the neighbors only claimed to have heard barking.
The fuck?
When police finally reached the crime scene, a journalist accidentally saw one of the bodies of the children fall out of the gurney, which is very sad.
The fuck?
Fucked up. Yeah. So. But it was then when a couple of investigators had told police that they don't think that this was a one-man job.
Yeah.
Especially since Ronnie DeFeo kind of talked about this night, and he was mentioning his sister Dawn a lot. Mm-hmm. And there were reports from people that he and his sister Dawn had this weird connection, almost incestual, almost, which was strange. But the police overheard Ronnie and his granddad talking about this.
Yeah.
And his granddad was like, you need to confess to the murder,
mm-hmm.
and you need to stop talking about your sister. Okay, that's what he said to Ronnie, and the police overheard it. Finally, you know, he confesses to it. What sucks is that there wasn't really any clear reasoning behind why he did this.
Yeah.
Either. Mm-hmm. Like, usually with that kind of mentality, you have exactly what they did.
Yes.
Exactly why.
Yeah.
He literally almost felt like he woke up and was like, what
just
the fuck?
On a spree.
Once it started, he couldn't stop himself, is how he explained it.
Jesus.
It's interesting.
It's scary.
Yeah, it's fucking terrifying. Because, like you were saying, like, his mom and him had a good relationship. Having kids sounds like a fucking terrifying adventure.
Right. And he wasn't a suspect originally, but because of the conversation they had overheard with his grandfather, they put a little bit more pressure on him and he confessed. He claims he woke up at 3:23 a.m. and for reasons unknown decided to kill his family. He claims he was not self-aware during the murders and the weapon could be heard about. There was zero evidence of, you know, the shootings anywhere in the neighborhood. So, yeah, the autopsy report did not reveal that their bodies had been moved after being shot.
It makes no sense. Were they sedated?
No.
What the fuck?
There was no trace of sedation. Like, all of this was researched. Like,
yeah.
Why this is probably the most mysterious part of the case. Even if there had been two killers, like, why didn't the neighborhood hear anything?
Right.
And where was the second weapon? Ronnie claimed the devil made him do it. He explained from a prison cell that a priest was watching him and he'd say, well, after having Dr. Daniel Schwartz interview Ronnie after his confession, he had claimed that he was not fully aware of his actions during the murder and he did not understand the nature of his actions at the time.
Hmm.
So, of course, Weber, Ronnie's attorney, decided for an insanity plea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Ronnie supposedly had taken drugs watching a war movie this night. So, and by drugs, I mean LSD.
Okay. Mm.
And he claims hearing his family whispering they were going to kill him during this little hallucinogen, which is creepy as fuck.
Yeah, I hate
that.
But keep this in mind. He's literally on the couch. okay, fucking acid out of his mind, watching this war movie, hearing these things. But he'd often say that a female with black hands gave him a rifle, and then he went to shoot everybody. So he sees, like, this person, and he says that it was hooded, like a hooded black figure, handing him the rifle to go kill his family, which officials are not too sure he was even capable of working a weapon at this time.
Sure.
So a lot of us want to say spoopy, right?
Right.
Others want to say he had a fucking accomplice, right? So back to Dawn, his sister. She and him had been plotting to kill the family together.
Okay. That's true? Like, for sure?
That's what they're expecting, right? Okay. That's what they're insinuating from a lot of his claims, because they really think that what had happened was later on, after, like, they've arrested him and everything, a year after the murders, this DEA officer calls a journalist and is like, I was watching the DeFeo house the night that it happened.
Jesus.
The day that it happened, right? The murders.
Yeah.
And he was like, I saw Dawn coming out of the house and going to, like, this little creek that they have in town and picking up the weapon and bringing it back to the house. So literally Ronnie DeFeo's, like, imagination of a hooded demonic figure, female, handing him the rifle, very well could have been his sister.
What the fuck?
And what they're expecting happened was that he basically was like, this is what's going to happen, and this is the claim, this is our deal. And then come that night, Ronnie got too fucked up to do it.
Yeah.
And his sister killed everyone, including herself. Because she had, like, the powder that you have from shooting, while Ronnie didn't. So it's pretty certain that, like, he literally thinks he killed his whole family, and so does everyone else.
Yeah.
When, like, we actually don't know what happens, because police debunk every theory about there being a second shooter.
Right.
Which makes more sense, right? Like, how could they not have done it? And even still now, though, even if Dawn
had
did it,
kill herself?
Right.
If it was...
The mystery still stands.
That was my question,
too.
So
it's a very mysterious case. Okay, fast forward. Jury found Ronnie DeFeo guilty, regardless of the insanity plea, for all 6 deaths. So he's in there, 25 to life, plus some further.
Right.
Yeah.
He's probably never getting out.
A year later, the Lux is written by this home. Only a year.
That's not very...
Which is, like, there's so many red flags in the murder case alone. And the fact that there's, like, not a lot of research or investigation on this case. Like, what are we supposed to think? Do you feel comfortable thinking, even if, like, everyone presented you the facts,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, this person, one person alone, shot and killed 6 people with a rifle without anyone hearing?
No.
No.
That alone, no.
That doesn't make sense, and that's what they're selling us. So I don't know if there's anything spooky going on, but, like, that doesn't make sense to me. The whole murder itself doesn't make sense. How did no one hear the fucking shots? Like, not one that night without a silencer? No.
And, like, even the people in the house didn't hear it and get up and look?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
No. And I guess I was trying to think, like, yes, sure, Ronnie had this motive, quote unquote, and I don't get why Dawn either. Maybe it was just so miserable because of their dad. But what if the dad was, like, experiencing something spooky? You know? Who knows?
Who knows?
That's the crazy thing about the stories, that it's, like, supposedly cursing the males or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the Lutzes. So they move in 1975, a year later. After seeing the house, there were no red flags. They fell in love. They did not care about the incident that happened before. I guarantee you this family did not go in thinking, I'm going to make money off of this story living in this house. You'd have to be pretty fucked up, which is a whole other mess of investigation that you'd have to do on the Lutzes, right? Like, why would someone move into that house knowing that that happened? I wouldn't feel comfortable. Only a year later, so that raises a lot of red flags for people that are skeptics. It's like, who would knowingly do that for free? Even though now everyone does anyway.
Right.
Given the significance of the house.
Yeah.
They never suspected that anything would happen with them at the house. George Lutz's family claims that when they first moved in, within the first couple of hours, their dog tried to hang himself.
What? Jesus Christ.
He put that in, he said that in those words, but then explained that, like, he found the dog kind of over the fence and his leash was, like, caught. I don't think the dog was intentionally trying to kill himself.
Right, he was like, yeah. I'm out.
I fucked up.
I'm stuck.
Yeah, exactly. But that freaked them out for some reason.
Well, yeah, within the first 2 hours of living at your new house.
And you're like, nothing could go wrong. And it's like, the dog, the dog.
The first thing is the dog.
So, yeah, that happened. Because, like, they were kind of freaked out about that, they call some friends and they're like, look, this is what's happened. What do you think? The friends are like, you should get that shit blessed by a priest, dude. You need to have him come up in here and bless that shit for you ASAP. So they do. They get a priest. The priest comes to bless the home. And this is probably what you see in a lot of, like, the lots of tellings of their experience is what we have as this scary movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the murders themselves can be pretty scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. But they got a priest to come down. He suggested that the whole family avoid an upstairs bedroom because he felt something in there saying, get out. And then he felt slapped. He literally wow. got slapped across the face, which I thought was hilarious. But, like, he did. He felt something slapped him. So wow. he said, avoid that area. Don't make that bedroom your bedroom. Make the sewing room your bedroom, which they did. George claims he couldn't sleep at night at all for the next time they lived there. And he would wake up at about 3:15 a.m. each night. Coincidentally, or not so coincidentally, that was the exact time that the DeFeo murder had happened.
Huh. Yeah.
And, you know, a special hour.
Yeah.
In witching terms.
Yes. Well, it's like, is that the time of, like, he's reliving the energy from the murder, or is that the time that the spirit is active?
What if it's because, like, of both?
The spirit that caused.
What if the murder, cause was murdered? Yes, exactly, right?
Yeah.
We don't know. And who's to even say that the Lutzes didn't have access to this information? In my mind, as a decently sane person, I wouldn't do this with yeah. my whole family and kids and bring them into a house that was, you know, a place of a massacre to yeah. try to make money. Absolutely that wouldn't not. Be my thought process. I think maybe along the way, if someone was like, hey, do you want to make this into some money? Then I wouldn't be like, well, I mean, I'd probably say yes because I love money.
Right.
But I wouldn't, that wouldn't be my intention. And I think that's kind of where I stand with the Lutzes. I just don't see a lot of benefit for them to buy a house for not, like, $100,000's nothing to scoff at. Like, it's pretty yeah. good money for this family.
Yeah.
Anyway, and you're going to wait till the end for this one. But anyway, so George claims he woke up at this time every night. Coincidentally, that was when the murders had been committed. He also claims to had gone under some personality changes, like the fame. You know, he couldn't seem to get cold or to get warmer. So he would constantly chop up firewood. And then he would say that, like, him and his wife would say that they would go into a room and they would smell, like, something.
Like sulfur?
Almost. Something yeah. fleshy or something. Like, bad smell, you know?
Yeah.
And then yeah. that the temperatures, so, like, in the house constantly smell? Changed. Yeah. Like, a very... And then also they reported, like, some flies there. Like, they would get rid of flies, and then they would just come right back. And
you got demons.
You got yeah, demons.
That's
and if that's all demons. Real, you got demons, damn it. But also, like, I think a lot of people, since the skeptics, like, they don't go through these experiences that shift them to believe this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't realize that when you are telling these stories to people about your experiences, how much you actually have to say, right? Like, for me, when I lived in a house, like, I'd be like, oh yeah, and, like, that would happen to you, and I forgot about that, or, you know what I mean, or yeah, I had those weird dreams. But anyway, George claims that Kathy told him, she came to him one day, his wife, and was terrified, and she felt that she was almost embraced by a woman in the room. She was very disturbed. They were also becoming a lot more concerned with their daughter, Missy, who had claimed to make a like imaginary friend with a person named Jody.
Get out.
Absolutely not.
Leave.
That presented itself as a large pig? Question mark?
It's a big pig.
Jody, unclear if it's a boy or girl, was said to Missy that he was very happy she would be staying in the house forever. Which the family like found this. Very disturbing. but some people in the neighborhood said that Ronnie DeFeo would call a neighborhood cat a pig, and that it had red-ish glowing eyes at night or something, and that the family, the Lutz family, had like drawn that from that. And I didn't even see how that they would even have that information.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, even if that was true, who told them that? That's right. Such a weird detail to like, tell someone.
Was it public knowledge?
Knowledge that he knew this cat he'd call pig? Like, that just doesn't make sense. Okay,
no.
I don't know.
No.
Anyway, I just thought that I'd mention that. They'd also claim to hear, like, screams and footsteps. And, like, one time, George said that he felt, like, a pressure on his chest in the bed and couldn't get up.
Mm-hmm.
And he could hear the kids' beds moving up and down.
Oh, like banging?
Slamming on the floor.
Well, the pressure on the chest can be attributed to sleep paralysis. Like, if the family was dealing with that before, that could be a part of it. But the shaking bed thing, I can't tell you.
Right. He just wanted to help his kids to go, and he said he couldn't get up.
It's just, like, it's weird that it's there's so many parallels to the story behind The Conjuring. Yeah. It's, like, very similar. The hauntings are very similar.
Yeah. Every single, like, one of these movies that's been a franchise is based off of this story.
The Conjuring's based off a different house.
But the Lutz's experiences were sold to that story, yes.
Yeah.
So, like, they've basically framed, there's tons, like, haunting in Connecticut looks like this.
No, I know, but I mean, like, the actual story, the actual hauntings are similar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the experiences are the same.
Yeah.
Just different similarly. Places, it's just weird.
Well, and get this, like, The Exorcist came out before all of these.
Oh,
and
yeah,
had
yeah,
the
yeah.
same, you know what I mean? Right? So, anyway, they claimed that they would also see their china turning black in the household. Like
weird.
The toilet would turn black, and, like, their dishes that were china would turn black.
Weird.
Anyway, they fled the house January 1976, 28 days after moving in.
Wow.
Damn. I can't say I blame them, because
no.
I wouldn't have bought the house to
in
begin
the
with
place?
Personally,
yeah.
But terrifying.
What did you mean by The Conjuring was similar? Did they say something about, like,
the
beds?
Yeah, that
oh,
in
the
haunting,
paralysis?
No, like, in the actual, like, case, like, that the Warrens did, it's the same thing, like, the dad couldn't get up, pressure on the chest, fucking banging beds. Above of the kids. It's just weird. It's like the same type of haunting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which also makes me wonder, like, did the Warrens
sell some of this information?
Right.
Or, like,
and
cross.
Like, yeah, like, cross use it to make themselves look. Man, I hope not.
Well, that was an interview with, like, George himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they just.
Maybe they were like,
cross switch details.
Let me
to you.
Take
I mean,
these
it's a
details.
Film
just
fucking franchise. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Like,
it
all
is.
Of this. Just
well,
like,
and they're
to
not the first people I've
be.
Heard about sleep paralysis with demons.
Oh,
and stuff.
Yeah.
No, no,
no.
Friends
that's
say
common.
That.
Yeah. But, like, the bed detail's weird, I feel like. And
it
that
is
shouldn't
weird.
Be as common as I've heard it in the
no,
stories
no,
that the
no,
Warrens
no, no,
have.
Yeah, the Warrens are probably telling everyone this.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, the Lutzes moved to Kathy's mother's. George had the home investigated. He contacted a man who was a psychologist/vampirologist.
That is a dope job, and if that's still a thing, that's what I want to do.
This man, Kaplan, and his wife clarified that he will be investigating the home and their claims, and that they are actually public. They will dispute the knowledge publicly. So
okay.
If your claim was incorrect and they found it false,
mm-hmm.
they're going to tell the public that. If they found it to be true, they're going to tell the public that.
Right.
George didn't really like that. He decided that he was actually going to keep it on the hush-hush and not tell anyone until Ronnie DeFeo's lawyer,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He fucking connected with the Lutzes and was like, tell me about this. And the Lutzes were like, I actually do feel very concerned with Ronnie because they were going to help him.
Yeah.
They literally believed Ronnie. And they went to his lawyer to try to tell him that they believed that he was experiencing the things he said he was in the house.
Weird.
And the lawyer convinced them to profit on this. They talked for a long time. And yeah, so either they were telling the truth or maybe they weren't. But before that point, they were trying to help Ronnie DeFeo get out of jail. Which is strange to me. Like, what? Okay, if you were lying about this, are you literally going to go to a convicted murderer to try to help him out of jail?
Yeah, no.
To take this so far without telling the public first? You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. There are a lot of details on this that we've still not deemed whether to be true or not so far. Lorraine Warren, she was one of the people who investigated this. So once this was finally made public knowledge, they gathered a group of psychics to kind of check out the house itself. Lorraine Warren was amongst those psychics. The cameraman had, when he entered the house, had stabbing chest pains, like out of nowhere.
That's weird.
Psychics felt the pain
before.
And sorrow in the house. One of them saw a girl looking at her from the window. And she didn't seem scared at all when she was telling this story about the girl looking back at her. She was just like, yeah, I told her to go towards the light and she'll be with her family. And
yep, she's so pure.
Yeah. Lorraine claimed that there was a deeper evil in the house, like, which is interesting compared to that other lady who says that there was like a Native American burial ground. Lorraine did sense that it wasn't just a family of the DeFeos who were there haunting this place or staying there and lingering, but she did feel a deeper evil, and she claimed to, when she was walking through the rooms, she would see bodies lined up on the floor with sheets over their faces, just kind of like imagery wise. And yeah, so she also saw some hooded figures around the house that looked like monks, and they never came in, but she said that they were coming towards the house.
But never entering.
It just reminds me of what he saw giving him the gun.
Yeah.
Right? Very interesting. And I don't even know if, like, at this point they have any consideration with that crime detail per detail.
Yeah.
But anyway, Lorraine had said that she hoped that this was the closest to hell she would ever get.
Wow.
Wow.
They performed a seance in the home. All of them. And one photograph had been taken that night. They didn't catch anything to put on TV or anything like that. Like, they, only the psychics were, like, feeling these things. But the cameramen and the journalists and stuff, they were like, this is crack of shit. Let's just go home. But they got one fucking picture that, have you guys seen this picture? Like, of this little boy that is in the house, right?
Mm-mm.
So,
no.
They have a camera just, like, strobe lighting picture after picture after picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And out of all of these pictures, a woman, 10 years later after this happened, she's pregnant, looking through these pictures, stops on one in particular, is like, this one is fucking weird, hands it over, they're able to develop it. There's a little boy literally peering back at you from the staircase. I'll have to post it on the Insta, but yeah.
That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
That is terrifying.
It's very terrifying. Yes, so Hans Holzer is one of the most famous ghost hunters in America. Like, he's a paranormal investigator, very well known. He's the one who brings this woman who he calls a deep trance medium, because he thought, you know, after they catch this photo and George Lutz brings it to him and is like, see, like, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Like, this house is haunted. I want you to look into it more. Mm-hmm. Brings it to Holzer, and Holzer's like, well, you know, there's only one thing that we could do is bring this deep trance medium in. And the reporter on this documentary that I was watching, she was very much so, like, just straight to business. Like, you know, she's there, she doesn't believe, like, all the shit and stuff, but she did say that seeing this medium, like, transform physically was very scary to her. So supposedly this medium goes to the house with Holzer and George Lutz, and she steps out of the car and immediately was like, there's an Indian around here. Yeah, and she starts to develop an Adam's apple.
That's weird.
And her voice drops down, like, several octaves. And she begins to speak in this gibberish language and speaking to an Indian chief on the burial ground, right? And this is where it's like, we don't know if it's true. We don't know any of that. But for the sake of what it means, like, the psychic did transform physically. I don't know if that's just human ideas, like power of mind, but she grew an Adam's apple. She was an old lady. It was really strange. Supposedly, the house was built on this Native American, like, cemetery. But, yeah, that's all been sort of debunked since there's not really any claims that prove that that was right. But, yeah, some spooky shit. I'll have to show you guys that picture. But to this day, like, for me, looking into this, I still haven't found, like, a good, like, explanation to the murders that happened before. I am on the side of, like, the Lutzes could be bullshitting us just because it's a profitable market. Who knows if they were really experiencing that stuff. But I do know people who have. So I'm not going to just say, like, they didn't experience it, right? But that stuff happens, so it's a possibility, but still a very mysterious murder case. And I would like to see them deem it as a double murder. It just doesn't make sense. Ronnie could do it alone.
No, yeah. I agree with that, yeah.
In his state of mind. Spooky, right?
Really? I'm just fascinated, because it seems like something that they maybe took advantage of, but, like, it lines up so perfectly with everything that was going on previously that I'm like, I don't know.
It's really
either
weird.
They did a lot of research, or, like,
the truth could be somewhere in the middle. Shit.
Well, and the family, you know? Now, like, the kids are still terrified. Like, they won't talk about the reason they left that house. Like, the night that pushed them out, like, they won't talk about it. We don't know what happened that made it do it.
Well,
I don't like that.
I still don't know how I feel. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the murders.
Me either.
Man.
Spoopy or not spoopy, I don't know.
I always err on the side of belief, so it's just creepier to me because of that aspect.
Well, and then it's like, if he's spoopy and possessed, what if some of, like, Richard Ramirez was possessed to me, dude? He had to have been. This is freaking scary.
He's a nightmare creature.
He also has demon eyes, those beady little eyes. Him, Charles Manson, Ronnie DeFeo, they got those fucking beady eyes, man.
Fucking beady
eyes.
All right.
Come back next week, guys. Naomi will have a dope story for you.
A pretty rough one, actually. Damn. So look forward to that.
That's okay. Come back anyway.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.